So we're still in the Apostles' Creed. We've been preaching from the Apostles' Creed for quite a long time. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, descended to the dead. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the quick and the dead. We've done all of those statements. We've also done some a little bit further on. Today I'm going to do I Believe in the Holy Spirit. Last week Keith was doing the I Believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the Communion of Saints. Next week, Stuart's going to be doing the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I just want to say one thing about last week's talk that Keith did. As you know, he did a meditation. But he didn't answer a question that needs answering, really, so I'll slip it in right at the start today. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. The line confuses a few people. I've met people in the past who wouldn't say it. Refused to say it because they thought they were saying I believe in the Roman Catholic Church. It's not saying that. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church means I believe in the Holy Worldwide Church. Catholic in that sense means worldwide or universal, the universal church. So that's all from last week, just in case you were confused on the issue. So today the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And if you've got your Bibles, by the way, last week Keith said, bring your own Bibles to church. Do you remember those who were here? Bring your own Bibles, he said. There was one man in the room who felt really condemned. He was sat back there. And felt really condemned because I'd take mine home in the week. I enjoyed it. Found it for me, I'd lost it. I left it here and lost it. So I took it home in the week, so I thought I won't take it today. Because last time I took it, I left it. And I didn't have it through the week. And then Keith says, bring your own Bibles. Don't use a church one from out there. Bring your own. I slumped down into my seat. One of the leaders of the church. Not got his own Bible. I brought it again today. I feel good. I feel good. But anyway, I've been doing a meditation this week as well, Helen. Is Helen here? Yeah, I've been doing a meditation as well this week. I've started reading Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 1. Mark's one of the Gospels, of course, that doesn't deal with the birth of Jesus. Begins with him already starting his ministry. And his baptism. So I got to verse 8. John the Baptist is preaching, saying there's somebody coming after me who's mightier than I am. Verse 7, Mark chapter 1, verse 7. There's one coming after me who's mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. There's three references to the Holy Spirit within a matter of three verses. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Three references to the Spirit within a matter of four or five verses. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. On the verse 10, and this is the one I meditated on. Immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens opened, or the heavens parting, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Well, that was the one I meditated on. Then verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And various questions came to me from these verses. When John says to them, somebody's coming after me, we'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I thought, did the people who stood there, who he's talking to, did they know what that means? And John the Baptist says, Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Do they know what that means? Do you know what that means? Baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are all Christians baptized in the Holy Spirit? Is baptized in the Holy Spirit something that happens later on, after your conversion? These are questions that I was asking myself, and then I asked, did the people there understand what he meant? Did they know who the Holy Spirit was? I think they did. I think they were Jewish people. They were taught the Old Testament by the rabbis. And is there Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Yes. In fact, it's in the second verse in the Bible. Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit hovered over the waters. So they knew there was a Holy Spirit. Whether they knew what baptizing in the Holy Spirit was, I don't know. I think probably not. But I'm only guessing. Because the Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament. What I want to do in a minute is just run through, as Nicky Gumbel does on the Alpha course, on the Holy Spirit Day, runs through the Old Testament references to the Spirit. I'm going to do that in a moment with you. So I think because there was lots of references to the Spirit in the Old Testament, they knew about the Holy Spirit, but I don't think they knew what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. So the next thing I want to do is just go through the outline that Nicky Gumbel uses in his manual for the Alpha Holy Spirit Day. Anybody ever been on Alpha course? Anybody been on Holy Spirit Day? Anybody enjoyed the Holy Spirit Day? Good, I would have thought all hands who went up for the second question would go up for the third one. So we do three talks on the Holy Spirit weekend. First one's called Who is the Holy Spirit? And for a long time in church history, the person of the Holy Spirit has been ignored in church history. There's been a great concentration on the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is sort of relegated to a less important role than the Father and the Son in church history. The Holy Spirit is misunderstood in many ways. And the creed doesn't help, because we think of him not as a person, but as an it. And the creed doesn't help because it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. David Pawson's very keen that we drop the word the. I believe in Holy Spirit. So he doesn't use the definite article. He just says, I believe in Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, will you come? Not the Holy Spirit, will you come? Because it's three persons in one, isn't it? Father, Son, and Spirit, they're three people. They relate to each other. They talk to each other. They have a beautiful relationship. If any of you have read The Shack, it sort of portrays it very well, how they get on with each other. So he's been misunderstood. He's been seen as an it rather than a person. He's been seen as an influence. May the force be with you type of influence. But he's a person. We know he's a person because we can offend him. And we can grieve him. And we can resist him. So, in the Old Testament, he's involved in creation. Genesis 1:2. Spirit hovered over the water. He brought order into chaos. He brought order into creation. He gives life to man. Genesis 2:7. He breathes God breathes. I don't actually say Holy Spirit, it says breath, which is another word for spirit. Breathes into man, gives life. You get the same thing in Exodus dry bones vision, in Ezekiel dry bones vision, chapter 37. The wind comes and breathes life into the bones. Can these bones live? Yes, if the Holy Spirit breathes into them, they can. And then here's the phrase that I always remember for the help from the Alpha Course, because I've been on so many Alpha Courses. He came upon particular people at particular times in particular places. That's what the Holy Spirit did in the Old Testament. He came upon particular people at particular times for particular tasks. And Nick Ingham gives four examples. He came upon Bezalel in Exodus 31 for artistic work. I'm going to put my spirit on Bezalel and he'd be more artistic, more creative, because I put my spirit on him. Gideon, you're going to lead my people against the Midianites. Me? Yes, I'm going to put my spirit on you for leadership. Samson, praying in the Philistines' temple. Lord, just give me strength. I want to die, but give me strength to pull these pillars down. And God gives him strength. His spirit, it says, comes upon Samson. He gets strength. Holy Spirit can give you strength. Right where you are. You can pray for strength. It says in Ephesians, I pray that they'll be strengthened in their inner man with might. And he came upon Isaiah for prophecy. Isaiah 61. And then in the Old Testament you get the promises of something new that's going to happen in the future. One day they will all know me, it says in Jeremiah. They won't have a heart of stone anymore. They'll have a heart of flesh, because I'm going to put my spirit upon them. Or I'm going to put my spirit within them. Ezekiel 36, I will put my spirit in you. Not just upon you, but in you. Ezekiel 47, there's going to be a river flowing from the temple, Ezekiel says. It's going to bring life everywhere it goes. It's going to flow down to the Dead Sea and make the Dead Sea live. It's just going to flow from under the throne of the temple where there's no water. It's a spiritual thing. Might be physical as well one day. Maybe it will flow down, the Dead Sea will come to life. Nothing living in the Dead Sea now, is there? But fresh water went into it, it would come alive. Anybody been to the Dead Sea? Sat down, read a newspaper in the Dead Sea? It's not very nice, actually. Smelly, muddy. I prefer fresh water. Well, one day it's going to be fresh, says it in Ezekiel 47. And then Joel 2, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. This will fulfill, or will be fulfilled in the future. So that's a quick run through the Holy Spirit's activity in the Old Testament. There's a lot more, but we need to move on. So let's go back to verse 10. Now this is the verse I meditated on this week. Immediately coming up from the water, Jesus saw the heavens parting, the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. So who we are, start of Jesus' ministry? Well, Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit already, surely. He's come from heaven. And yet, he shows us about baptism. He shows us that we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And when I meditated on the verse, I thought, Jesus looked up, saw the heavens parting. I thought, what did he see? I tried to imagine it. If it was a cloudy day, I could imagine clouds parting. Usually in Israel, it's not a cloudy day. It's clear blue skies. I wonder what he saw. Looking up at a clear blue sky, and he sees heavens parting. He saw something I've never seen. Probably you've never seen. Because there's an unseen realm, isn't there? There's a realm that we don't normally see. Jesus saw it. He looked up to the heavens and saw them parting. The Spirit descended like a dove. I thought, did everybody see it? It doesn't say that. It just says he.
He looked up and saw the heavens parting. There's an unseen realm.
Those of you on the weekend away, you know this from Paul, what Paul Hopkins was saying. He said you can live in this realm here, where everything you see is real, and there's nothing unseen that's real. Or you can live in this realm here, where there's things going on that you can't see, but they're going on. But Jesus saw things we don't see. He saw heaven parted, the Spirit descending like a dove. My granddaughter's giving me a bit back up there. Thank you. So there's an unseen realm. I find the unseen realm exciting, actually. Do you know, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. I was panicking then. I thought I'd not printed the sermon out. There it is. Thank you. Jesus kept saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. What does it mean, he who has ears to hear? We've all got ears, haven't we? Most people. Except from the guy that Peter cut his ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he got it back very quick. You know, most people Jesus talks to have got ears. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What does he mean? He means there's some spiritual hearing that you don't hear physically, necessarily. Fletcher of Madeley, one of my great heroes, wrote a book called Christ Manifested, and it was about the five senses. For every one of your senses, physical senses, there are spiritual senses. A spiritual hearing. Jesus, he has ears to hear. There must be spiritual hearing. Not everybody hears this. The spiritual sight. Some people see things that we don't normally see in the physical. Jesus seen the heavens parting. He saw something we don't normally see. Elisha's servant. Elisha sees the army of angels. By the way, I was liking her accompaniment. She's fine. Elisha sees the army of angels, and so he doesn't worry. But his servant doesn't see it, Gehazi. And then Elisha says, open his eyes so he can see them. And he sees them too. The spiritual sight, the spiritual hearing, the spiritual taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We can taste the sweetness of knowing God. It's a taste. The spiritual smell. Some people smell things when the Spirit's present strongly. They smell things. I think only once has that ever happened to me. And it was at that doorway there. I came into a meeting in here. I smell this very strong fragrance, and I've got a very poor sense of smell. Wasn't flowers, Joe, I don't think it was flowers. I can't smell flowers anyway. I've got a terrible sense of smell. But I've got this fragrance and there's worship going on. And some people get that a lot. And touch, spiritual touch, feeling, breath, wind. People praying and feeling wind blowing around them. Woo! Paul Hopkins told us, didn't he? He said, I felt somebody brush his shoulder. Then he felt somebody brush the other shoulder. Opened his eyes, there's nobody in the room. There's things going on. There's an unseen realm which is real. And there's a great quote from C.S. Lewis that we heard. How did Jesus pass through the wall after his resurrection? How did his body pass through the wall? C.S. Lewis says, because his body was more real than the wall. The unseen realm is more real than what we see. Theologically speaking, there's angels in this room now. They're here.
Theologically speaking, God's presence is in this room now, isn't it? When you get on your knees to pray, God's presence is in the room with you. Some people see these things. There's an unseen realm. The enemy wants us to live in the seen realm. Doesn't want us to think about anything going on in the unseen realm, does he? I know I'm pinching a lot of what Paul Hopkins said here, but I believe it's true. And then the enemy doesn't want us to believe in that realm. Some of you in this room are bothered by spiritual forces, and you don't know it's spiritual forces. They don't leave us alone, spiritual forces. Some of us, we're Christians, so we're not possessed by evil forces, but we get bothered by them. They say things to you in your thought life. They say things like, there you are again. You've done it again, haven't you? You're no good. You'll never be any good. You can't change. You'll always be like this. That's the way he talks to you. And we think, where's that come from? That's just a thought. How evil am I thinking that? No, you're not. You've just been attacked. Doesn't make you evil. You're being attacked. But here's the key. You need to deal with that with a spiritual weapon. It says in the Bible, the weapons of our warfare are mighty. With them we pull down strongholds. If you're going through something that's a spiritual matter, i.e. depression, anger that you can't control, thoughts, negative thoughts that bother you, if you're going through those, you need spiritual weapons to deal with it. Sorry to keep going on about Paul Hopkins on the weekend away, but just refreshing your minds, those who were there, and those who weren't, I'm just giving you a brief summary. At one point he's praying and a dark shadow approaches him when he's praying and says to him, you can't trust God. He gives and he takes away. See, he always lets you down. He always gives and then takes away. And Paul Hopkins thought, yeah, he does. His marriage had failed. His first wife had sat him down and said to him, I want a trial separation. But she left and went off with somebody else. He's remarried now. But when this dark presence came up, whispered, see, God gives, God takes away. Immediately I went to the, when she sat down at the table in the kitchen, said, I want a trial separation. See, he gave you marriage and he took it away. That's what God's like. And he went back to all sorts of incidents in his childhood. See, God gave you that and then he took it away. You can't trust him. And Paul immediately thought, I'm not thinking this. This is coming from somewhere else. And he started to deal with it. I'm sorry, God, that I've thought that about you, that you give and you take away. I repent. You're not like that. That's not the kind of God you are. You're a great and mighty God. Shake me. Change me, shake me. And his life changed because he allowed God to shake him in that area. And there's some of us in this room, we're under spiritual attack. We need God to rescue us. We need his spirit to come and rescue us. I can't defeat this. This is always getting on top of me. God, send your spirit. Send your spirit. Send your spirit. There's an unseen realm. And it actually affects your life more than the seen realm does. What you think governs the way you behave. What you believe governs the way you behave. Governs the way you feel. So Jesus sees heaven parted and the Spirit coming down upon him like a dove. I wonder who else saw it. He said he saw it. So we don't know that anybody else saw it. But you know what happens in verse 12? immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Where, what happens? He's attacked. He's attacked spiritually. Gets filled with the Spirit, then gets attacked. But he can deal with the attack because he's filled with the Spirit. You and I won't overcome the things that are ruining our life and dominating our character. We need the Holy Spirit to protect us. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us. We need the Holy Spirit so we can fight back and say, no, that's not true. I will not always be like that. I'm a child of God. No longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. That's not true. That's not true. I love what Helen said this morning about being in love. I want to think about Jesus all the time. That's beautiful. It's in the mind where the battle goes on, isn't it? It's what you get, you know, you get thoughts and you go, why am I thinking that? It's an attack from outside. Sometimes it's your fault. Let's cover that up. World, the flesh, the devil. Sometimes it's advertising, the world. Sometimes it's things that visually come before you that make you go off on a tangent that you don't want to go off on. Sometimes it's your own flesh. But very often it's the enemy attacking you. Now you could say, I don't want to see the unseen realm because I don't want to fight. I don't want a spiritual battle. I don't want to be in a battle. Well, let me tell you this, and this is what I think. You can stand over here again in the unseen realm. You've lost the battle. You've already lost it. You're living in a way the enemy's not bothered about you. He's got you where he wants you. He's got you thinking you're no good. He's got you thinking negative. He's got you thinking, I can't do this, I can't do that. He's got you thinking, I'll never change. He's got you thinking, I can't have a relationship with God like that person's got. Why can't you? God says, why can't you? God says, of course you can. You're a child of God. You're no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. That was the tune, George. So, I keep going off at tangents and then I come back and don't know where I'm up to. Heidi Baker says this. We need God's presence in our lives. We need God's presence in our meetings. And Paul Hopkins again, he said two things about this church. He's never been here, but he saw a lot of the people from there. And he said two things about this church before he did his personal prophecies to people, individuals. He's preaching and then he suddenly stops and listens because he hears. He's got spiritual hearing. He's got spiritual sight. He stops in the middle of his sermon and you can tell he's listening to something. And then he says, you've still got the lampstand. Your church has still got its lampstand. You know the letter to the seven churches? Revelation 2 and 3? Some of them, the lampstand's almost gone out. You've still got your lampstand. And I thought, oh, thank you. How's it to be in a church with no lampstand? What would be the point? Go home. Start a social club. Then he said, there's honour amongst you because you value the presence of God. Your church values God's presence. I hope that will always be the case at Mount Chapel, that we value God's presence above all else. I'd love it if strangers walked in and said, wow, something in here. It's the presence of God because we love and value the presence so much. I'm going to go off a Kurt Bennett tangent now. Kurt Bennett was talking last week about places where God wants to visit. Places where God wants to lay his head. places where he wants to put his feet down. There are places on earth where God does that. Is that biblical, John? Genesis 28. Jacob wrestles with God. He sees a ladder going to heaven. He sees angels ascending and descending from heaven to a certain place on earth. And what does he say? Surely God is in this place. There's a place on earth where angels ascend and descend and want to touch earth. It's a place where God has visited at some point. Later on, he says to Jacob, I want to speak to you again. Go back to that place. And you can imagine Jacob thinking, well, you're speaking to me now. Why don't you just tell me now? Go back to that place. It's where I met you before. The burning bush, where Moses was met. Holy place. In the New Testament, Jesus sees Nathanael under the fig tree, remember? And he calls him to follow him. Nathanael says, how did you know? I said, I saw you under the fig tree. How did you know I wanted to follow you? I saw you under the fig tree. Nathanael's amazed. Jesus says, you're amazed by that? You'll see greater things than that. You'll see ladders going from earth to heaven and angels ascending and descending. There's places on earth where God will come. And which places are they? Here's a simple answer. The places that want him. God wants to be with everybody, but everybody wants him. God wants to touch everywhere, but not everywhere wants him. God wants to touch certain cities, but not every city wants him. God wants to touch certain churches, but not every church wants him. I hope we're always a church that wants God's presence to come amongst us and visit us. And now I'm lost again. So Heidi Baker says, I only know one way to bring the presence into a place. Do you know what it is? Worship. She said, the only way to bring the presence, I know of only one way, she said, it's worship. That's why we worship at the start of our services, isn't it? That's why in our prayer meeting on Tuesday night, we'll begin with worship. The worship will be going. We know a story of some ladies who we heard about on the weekend, right? God called them to intercede. Just a certain group. But for the first 11 years, all they had to do was worship. Just worship. Is worship prayer? I think worship's prayer. What's prayer? How do you define prayer? Communing with God. Fellowshipping with God. Talking to God. Praising God. It's prayer. Ray shared a great verse with us there from 1 John. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we resist prayer. I don't feel like praying. But do you want our fellowship with the Father? Oh yeah, like that. Same thing, isn't it? Prayer's fellowship with the Father. I love what George said about Mark. I have a relationship with Jesus because I talk to him. Excuse me, that was a loud cough. Thomas Aquinas said this. Well, let me lead up to what he said, first of all. The major presupposition which prevents spirit coming into a meeting is the belief we have that the spirit's already present always, so we shouldn't need to ask him to come. It is obviously true that the Spirit is already present in the room when we come, because He's omnipresent. God is omnipresent. His Spirit's here. That's true. However, while it might be true that the Spirit is present, it's not always true that he's present in a manifest way. It's not always true that he's present in a strong way, showing himself. Both forms of divine presence are necessary. And the path to having them both is bold, faithful prayer and worship. Now, this is what Thomas Aquinas said. That was a build-up to what Thomas Aquinas, who was one of the great theologians in history, Roman Catholic, sort of the Roman Catholic equivalent to John Calvin in esteem and weight. When Scripture speaks of the coming of divine persons, it doesn't refer from moving to removing from absence to presence, since divine persons are always present, but moving from one mode of presence to another. I.e., the Holy Spirit, as we said before, is in the room. God is in the room. But, you know, he can come in a different way. He can come in a stronger way. We can ask him to come and he can come in a stronger way. Right now. Well, I've not finished my sermon, but I want to finish by us doing that. It's 20 past 12. So I think I'll just move on to that. Can I have somebody play? Elizabeth or Jonathan? Which one is it? We're both looking at each other. Because what I want us to pray, I just want to pray for the Holy Spirit to move from one mode of presence to another mode of presence in the room. And I particularly want to pray for people who feel restricted in some way from accessing God's presence because they feel inadequate or they feel unworthy. Or they feel their character isn't good enough. Because they're constantly being lied to by the enemy. Constantly being attacked. Your thought life is constantly being attacked. And so this is the way I am. I don't experience what other people experience. I never feel God. When you pray at the front, I never feel a thing. That's fine. You don't have to feel a thing. Don't worry about it, whether you feel a thing or not. You may do. I've known people who, you pray for them and tears start rolling down the cheeks. You say, what's the matter? I never feel anything when you pray for me. There's tears rolling down the cheeks. Isn't that feeling something? Feelings come in different ways, don't they? Some people, I didn't feel anything, I just felt a great sense of peace. Well, you did feel something then. So let's just position ourselves. You know, one of the things is resistance. You can resist the Holy Spirit. You can quench him. It's the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is nothing to be feared of. It's God's Spirit. It's the Father's Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Lord. Let's just close our eyes. Worship ushers in the presence of God. Jesus said, I desire them to be with me where I am. I want them to be with me. Father, I pray that your presence would be released in an increased way in this room right now. Spirit of the Lord, come upon us right now, Lord. Thank you that you dwell within us. Lord, come upon us again, I pray right now. God wants to touch you more than you want Him to touch you. God wants you to feel Him more than you want to be, to feel Him. I desire that they may be with me where I am, to behold my glory. Father, I desire that they may be with me where I am, to behold my glory. So Spirit of God, come upon us right now in this room. Each one, wherever they're sat, Lord. Your Spirit come upon each one. Lord, how we love you. Pray for your Spirit to come upon everybody in this room, Lord God. Holy Spirit. There are places where you come, it's where you're wanted. It's where you're welcomed. It's where you're welcome, Lord. So we say, well, you are welcome here, Lord. You're welcome in this building. You're welcome in my heart. You're welcome in my mind and in my inner being. Strengthen me with your might and your power in your inner being. You're welcome in this place, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Come upon us, Lord. One of the Holy Spirit's roles is to glorify Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will glorify Jesus. So Lord, I pray right now in this room, you will glorify Jesus in our minds and hearts. Come in, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We say yes to you. Yes, Lord God Almighty. How beautiful you are. How beautiful is your presence. Quicken us again, Lord. Holy Lord, you are more real than what we see around us. Yes, Lord. Our fellowship is with you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We love to fellowship with you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Touch us, Lord. Open our spiritual eyes, our spiritual hearing. We want to perceive you more than we do now, Lord. We want to perceive you in a way that your realm becomes more real to us than what we see around us. Thank you, Lord, for your living water. Your living water. Thank you, Lord, for living water. Thank you, Lord, that as our physical bodies need drinks, need fluids, need liquids, need water, our spirits need living water. Jesus, you said, if anybody thirsts, then come to me and drink. Out of his innermost being flow rivers of living water. This he said regarding the water from the temple. It's living water. It brings life. Against enemy attacks. I pray for those in this room who are experiencing lies, telling them they're no good, telling them that they'll never change, telling them they're not as good as other people, telling them they're inadequate, saying things like, see, you'll always be like that, that will always be your problem. We come against that. In the name of Jesus Christ, the weapons of our warfare are mighty. We pull down those strongholds, those ideas that some of us have agreed with. We say, yes, that's what I'm like. No, you're not. You're a child of God. You're meant for more than this. You're meant to soar spiritually. You're meant to rise up spiritually. You're meant to live higher. You're meant to see a different realm, the realm of the Spirit. Your presence above all else, Lord. In our daily lives, as we go through ordinary chores, as we do ordinary things, may you be the most important thing in our lives. Help us to have spiritual sight, spiritual hearing, spiritual taste, spiritual touch. Is to smell spiritual fragrances, fragrance of your presence. Jesus said, he's talking about the river from Ezekiel 47 that flows from under the temple, and John 7, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Spirit. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Do you live in a life of abundant flowing? Are you satisfied with your spiritual life? Surely none of us are. Surely we all need to cry out for more of what he's got to give us. Where would we be satisfied with just having our sins forgiven a long time ago? and then we wait till we get to heaven. When the Lord wants us to be strengthened with might in our inner man right now. Strengthen us, Lord, in our inner man through your Spirit right now. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening.